The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Here's what we're tracking today. We've got the spotlight on Australia. The currency is under pressure over the past week. It's dropped to a 20-year low yesterday. It's recovering a bit slightly today. Right now, one Aussie dollar will get you around 99 Singapore cents. Also, we'll be tracking what's happening in emerging markets with the financial crisis in Argentina unfolding. Let's get the bigger picture with Stephen Ennis. He's the head of trading for Asia Pacific at Oanda. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
I'm good, good. So, let's jump in straight into Australia. We've been seeing the currency tumbling. It's under pressure on a few fronts. We've got a politics, of course, around the leadership with the new PM. We've got local banks raising mortgage rates and more signs of China's economy slowing down. What's the biggest factor for you driving down Aussie dollar, and where is it going from here?
Well, I think basically when it rains, it pours, and it couldn't be more appropriate for the Australian dollar. I think the thunder down under started back with last week's CAPEX mix, and then we had followed up by Westpac raising mortgage rates. Then we followed up with weaker retail sales. So what it's telling me right now is the fundamentals are looking quite sour. And because of these mortgage lenders in Australia raising interest rates, it's really got the RBA between a rock and a hard place in the sense that they won't be able to raise interest rates. I mean, they're going to have to keep the economy very, very loose.
Right.
And this really, on an interest rate differential perspective alone, will play out quite negatively for the Australian dollar over the long term. If we factor in China, obviously we've got all this big noise about trade war escalation. It's very difficult to quantify how this is going to play out in the overall global economy. However, what we do know is we're seeing signs of the Chinese economy, you know, weakening to an extent. It's not tumbling, but there's signs of that's weakening. And since G10 traders generally use the Australian dollar as a proxy to hedge against China risk, I think we could see more buy-in to the downside from that factor as well.
Right. If you look at the Chinese economy, you had the PMI numbers out yesterday from the Taiseng Market PMI Index. 14-month low at 50.6. Looks like Chinese economy is really showing some signs of slowing down. That's going to put more pressure on the Aussie dollar.
Yeah, I think so, and I think this is what the markets are looking at here. But we found ourselves in really oversold positions for the Australian dollar, given all the fundamental negatives. And really what the market is hoping for here is that the RBA validates the market's dovish lean. So we have to be very careful given these oversold positions.
All right.
If the RBA doesn't come across with this dovish lean, we could see quite a relief rally on the Aussie today. However, given all the negatives and given all the ducks that are lining up on the negative landscape, I would anticipate the market to be selling dollars on any uptick. So I don't think it's going to be a long-term reprieve. I think it's going to be more of a knee-jerk reaction, if anything.
A lot of thunder down under. So we're looking at the central bank making an interesting decision later today at 12:30. Interest rate hikes. Are we expecting anything to move from the current levels of 1.5%?
No, we're not. I mean, this is it. It's all going to be about forward guidance. Right now, the market's lean. It's quite dovish on RBA expectation. There's only a few analysts that expect them to hike before the end of 2019, with actually some analysts subscribing to an interest rate cut by the end of 2019. So that gives you some perspective on what the forward guidance is.
Yeah, so we've got Stephen Ennis, Head of Trading for Asia Pacific at Oanda with us. Stephen, let's switch tracks to something that's also in the headlines. Argentina has announced emergency measures to address its financial crisis. We are talking about reinstating export taxes, cutting the number of ministries to save costs. And this comes just days after it hiked interest rates, its own interest rates to 60%. How much trouble is Argentina in, and what are markets pricing in terms of emerging market contagion?
Yeah, this is a bit of a mess in Argentina, obviously. I mean, with the central bank falling on the sword, putting interest rates up to 60 cents, it makes the whole landscape completely unquantifiable. And to be quite honest with you, it's not really the kind of environment I like to be taking speculative positions on. And, you know, I'm just more of an observer on this. Now we've got Argentina government attempting to pull off a Hans Brinker of all sorts of things by putting their thumb in the dike to stop the flood of capital outflow. Sure enough, these, you know, tax and grain exports and slashing government largesse is certainly a positive for the overall market. But however, you know, currency traders are not really going to be buying into this narrative. They're going to be quite reticent as far as moving back into the Argentinian peso at any time. I mean, the only saving grace I can see on the horizon is if a white knight from the IMF rides into for the rescue. But from that point, I think the sentiment's soured. I think we're years away from this recovering. Now, the big issue at hand now is contagion. Mm-hmm. We've seen in the past that when one of the fragile five, so to speak, tends to wobble, they all tend to follow suit. Right now, I think there's the real possibility that we could see a lot of the CEMEA and Latin American emerging market currencies actually get dragged down that slippery slope. However, over in this part of the world, our emerging market currencies are dealing with a different issue. Really, we're really dealing with trade war. I think once we get trade war out of the way, if the stronger dollar narrative starts to reverse itself, I think we are in a little bit positioned simply because of current accounts. I think capital accounts are much stronger these days, and I think there will be some appeal to re-engage local so-called emerging market currencies once we get through this tariff issue.
Yeah, good point, Stephen. So on the point on trade wars, U.S.-China trade wars, the public consultation for $200 billion worth of Chinese goods, that ends on Thursday. How do you see markets trading around this before and after?
Well, I think there's a lot of uncertainty. When there's uncertainty, you generally see the markets de-risk themselves. I think there's three levels that the market's looking at right now. There's some aspect that we may see an extension. There's another aspect that the $200 billion will go at a 10% levy. And then there's a more hawkish lean that the tariffs will go off at 25%. My feeling is I've been staying on the fact that they may want to buy some more time here. And the reason why, the rationale behind my view is simply from a sheer political perspective. And that's the fact that the Republican Party is coming up to a very contentious midterm elections in November. Now, these midterm elections, you know, obviously, you know, Trump government is going to be really focused and spending a lot of political energy on this. But also, we have to consider what a tariff is. A tariff is nothing more than a tax. Now, you know, Republican base and, you know, the Republican senators and Republican House hate the word tax. So I don't think that's going to be a big selling point, you know, if we actually get down to the fundamental aspects. My view is I see something coming together in September or early October, well before the midterm elections, and hopefully we get happier sailing as we move on through the rest of 2018.
Midterm elections in November, definitely a turning point to watch out for. Thank you so much, Stephen. We've got Stephen Innes, Head of Trading for Asia Pacific at Owenda, on The Bigger Picture with us.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.